This is Jay Sekulow, more victories for life.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The HHS mandate is a series of regulations that wouldn't exist except for the existence of Obamacare. They exist to implement certain provisions of Obamacare that said that all insurance policies have to provide so-called preventive services. But unfortunately, part of the preventive services that are included are contraception, sterilization, and any other form of FDA-approved contraceptive, which, and most people don't realize this, includes things like the morning after pill, Ella, things that clearly work after fertilization has taken place, after conception has taken place, after a new human being is in existence.
I've got two daughters, 9 years old and 6 years old. I'm going to teach them, first of all, about values and morals. But if they make a mistake, I don't want them punished with a baby.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Lots of people have a problem with that. And small business owners, mostly family-owned businesses, don't think the government should be telling them that they must pay for those things in violation of their religious beliefs.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We've been talking about the life issue this week, and I have been going through a series of, we get a news packet every morning here that our team puts together. And I mentioned on the broadcast yesterday this chip away approach that's taking place right now as it relates to Obamacare. You've got a series of challenges that have kind of brought a new life into the ability to get rid of this disastrous law. For instance, today, 21 states have expressly declined to set up their own exchanges. Remember, we're supposed to have those insurance exchanges. That's how this whole Obamacare was supposed to work. Well, 21 states have said we're not going to do it, and 9 others have still not decided. So you could have a majority of the states not participating in state exchanges. Then you had the Liberty University case sent back from the Supreme Court of the United States to the Fourth Circuit, and people even within the magazine and the business community, according to Business Insider, they're saying that those cases alone and some others that are coming up could unravel Obamacare. They are saying that because of the way the bill was put forward, there's a technicality there. Then we had the victory just this last week at the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit, which was the HHS mandate. And in that mandate, which was requiring these businesses to provide in their insurance plans abortifacients, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit issued an injunction pending appeal that says, no, you can't enforce it against people of conscience. So here's what you've got. You've got the HHS releasing 700 pages of regulations. Literally, on Friday, there was 394, another couple of hundred on Monday, another couple of hundred today. And this is what's going on. So you've got this kind of global approach right now to undoing this disaster called Obamacare. And it's very complex legal challenges and time-consuming, to say the least. But we're going to give you kind of a sense of where it's going today. First of all, we're taking your calls. I'm going to ask you this question, and that is, how important is it to you that we still fight to get rid of Obamacare? That's what we want to hear about. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We're taking your calls on that. I'm going to be joined by Carly Gamble, an attorney here at the ACLJ, working on a major life case right now. Ed White, senior counsel of the ACLJ, another major case, including these HHS cases, and Than's in Washington, D.C. Than, what's the latest up there with these state exchanges? I'm sure our friends on the Hill are encouraged that the states are not adopting this so quickly.
Yeah, Jay, the states have been telling the federal government for some time, listen, we can't afford to set up these exchanges. I got to tell you, the federal government is about to feel the brunt of that. They're going to have to set up these exchanges over the next 9 months for maybe up to 30 states. Listen, the federal government's going to get its dose of its own medicine here. They're going to bear the brunt of this burden. I don't know if they can do it, Jay. It's one of the ways we can chip away at this law.
Folks, Business Insider has this as a headline in one of their articles, quote, how a legal technicality could unravel Obamacare. Folks, we're in this fight. We're going to stay in it. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We're also filing briefs and litigating cases directly challenging the Department of Health and Human Services. That's the Obama administration's insurance czar, if you will. Kathleen Sebelius, 33,000 of you have contacted us online to oppose the abortion pill mandate. Go to ACLJ.org. You can sign up there, ACLJ.org, or you can call us at 1-877-989-2255. Folks, we're in that matching challenge. We could also use your help. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Back with more in a moment.
The American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront of a significant legal challenge. The Department of Health and Human Services is mandating that employers provide coverage for abortion-producing drugs, sterilization, and their insurance policies for employees, even if the mandate violates their religious beliefs. The ACLJ has filed numerous lawsuits challenging this flawed mandate, and the ACLJ is filing many amicus briefs backing other challenges. The fact is, the HHS mandate not only violates the free exercise of religion guaranteed by the First Amendment, it also violates the conscience rights of millions of Americans. This unprecedented attack is not only morally offensive, but unconstitutional as well. Join the legal fight. Sign on to our committee opposing the mandate, a committee that will be included in our future amicus briefs challenging the mandate. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org. The release of Pastor Youssef Nardakhani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We've decided to dedicate this week to our fight for life, which we're doing. By the way, a lot of you are getting email updates from the ACLJ, which I encourage you, if you're not on the ACLJ email list or not following us on Twitter or Facebook, you need to do it. We've got great information and great resources. Jordan's got a great Twitter account as well. Go to aclj.org. You can get all the information right there. And by the way, this is some good news. We've got a series of briefs we're going to be filing with the court. We've already jumped up since we've been on the air a couple of hundred. We're already 33,212 of you have joined the cause opposing this abortion pill mandate, defending religious liberty in courts around the country. We want you on these briefs as part of our committee. It's basically the committee opposing this abortion pill mandate and this chip away of Obamacare. You could do so. It's really easy to add your name. Just go to aclj.org. That's aclj.org. Or you can call us at 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. And also, we've got a brand new movie out about the life issue. It's called Life Happens. And when you call in the number or you go to the website, you can find out how you can get that as well. And we're very encouraged about that. So aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. And I encourage you to call. Let me go to Carly Gamble, who's with me in the media center here. Carly, you've got a case. We talked to CeCe Hall about some of these yesterday, but let's talk about this case. We call it Evergreen, these crisis pregnancy cases, because the crisis pregnancy centers are now on the front lines of the abortion fight. And there are groups dedicated to silencing their voice. What's the status and where are things standing right now?
Well, that's right. We are actually awaiting right now a ruling from the Second Circuit Federal Court of Appeals. An injunction was granted by the district court in our case.
In our favor,
that's correct.
So everybody understands out there, there was this attempt to silence these crisis pregnancy centers, make them say things that violate their conscience. We went to federal court, got an injunction. That injunction's in place right now. That law's not enforced, but, of course, they appealed it.
That's right. That's right. And the Second Circuit now will have an opportunity either to uphold that and agree that in fact, these CPCs, these crisis pregnancy centers, cannot be silenced by the government. And that's exactly what the fight is about. And so we are expecting a ruling fairly quickly here in that regard.
When we say quickly, of course, with the Second Circuit Court of Appeals, let me tell you, I've litigated up there a long time. Quickly could be 6 weeks. It could be 6 years. I mean, they are very slow. Folks, I think these are cases that could well be headed to the Supreme Court of the United States. I'll tell you what, we got Ed White on the phone here. Let's take a call, then we'll go back to Ed. Than, who do we have?
A lot of calls coming in. We're going to start with Kelly calling from Ohio on line 5. Kelly, you're on the broadcast.
Hi, Kelly.
How you doing, Jay?
Great.
Good. Yeah, I was just calling with Obamacare. My daughter, she's two, has a lot of medical issues, autoimmune deficiency syndrome. She needs a treatment every 3 weeks.
Yeah.
It's $18,000 every 3 weeks for my insurance company.
Yep.
My boy went through something similar, and he was up over $1 million by the time it was all said and done. But I do not in any way want the government dictating my daughter's treatment.
Yeah, let me tell you, this is going to be the big challenge in this healthcare battle, folks. I have a lot of friends that are in the medical community, doctors. With major hospitals. I'm talking about major institutions. I was talking to my brother yesterday about a situation with his father-in-law where they're saying, well, if you're on this insurance plan, we don't want to see you for 3 months. Folks, 3 months will be in a year will look like really quick. In England, if you need a hip replacement, you could wait 5 years. 5 years to get a hip replacement. And this is where we're going. This is the model we're going down. So, Kelly, what's going to have to happen here? And this is where the state exchange is not being set up really puts the Obama administration in a difficult position. Fan, explain to Kelly and the people that are listening to the broadcast right now what the impact of the states saying, no, we're not doing this, what that means for the federal government.
Yeah, under the law, Jay, these states have to set up these exchanges by October so that customers can start looking for packages. But listen, what the states are saying is we can't afford it. You're talking about almost $1 billion to set up one of these exchanges. We can't do it. So if they don't do it, Jay, the federal government has to set up their own exchange. But what you're talking about is the federal government having to do that for maybe up to 30 states. They're not going to be able to do
no
that.
Way.
And Jay, what I heard today, the way they're going to offset this cost is going to be pass along a 3.5% surcharge to every premium that's sold. So all of those increased costs
guess
plus 3.5% just up and up and up.
And guess who pays for that, folks? All of us. Our phone lines are open for you at 800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Carly's talking about the situation with these crisis pregnancy center cases. Let me ask Carly another question. I've got something for Ed White. The reality is, and what people need to understand, is who's behind these cases. Of course, the defendant is the city of New York because it's their policy and regulation. But who's out there promoting trying to get these crisis pregnancy center regulations put in place? The organizations.
Well,
guess who, folks?
Yeah, that's the irony. It's Planned Parenthood.
What a
NARAL.
Shock.
It's the voice of abortion. It's the competitor is what they term themselves. They say, look, we are competing with the crisis pregnancy centers. We don't want people to hear the message of life. We want people to come to us and have these abortions. So it's exactly who it is. It's Planned Parenthood and NARAL.
So, folks, even when the case says, you know, Evergreen Crisis Pregnancy Center or whatever they're calling it, the caption of the case versus the city of New York, it's Planned Parenthood. It's NARAL. It's the pro-choice America. That's who's doing this. So what you got to do is beat them back in court. And, folks, we got a huge victory out of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit last week. And let me tell you what that means. We beat the Obama administration in court, okay? The Department of Justice is defending HHS, Health and Human Services. They filed briefs. They're litigating the case. And we carried the day at the Eighth Circuit for this injunction pending the full appeal. That's a huge victory. We beat the Obama administration. Now, this is the question I'm asking you folks. Do you want to join our team that's winning and fighting against the Obama administration on this healthcare mandate and this healthcare plan generally? If you do want to join with us, let me encourage you to make the call or go to ACLJ.org and sign on to this committee. We want to get 100,000 signatures. We're about a third of the way there, maybe a little bit more. We want your help on this. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Let's take another call, then I've got a question for Ed. Who do we have, Fan?
Let's go to Jeannie calling from New Jersey on line 4. Jeannie, you're on the air.
Hi, Jeannie.
Hi. Well, I'm for the Obamacare package, and I believe that as far as...
What is it about the Obamacare package that you like?
Everything.
Well, what's everything? I mean, what plan did you have before?
Abortion was in this country and in this Congress forever. And now all of a sudden, Planned Parenthood hasn't changed any of its practices.
No, but now they have, because they've got an ally in the White House.
They have a what?
Ally? A friend in the White House.
They don't have an ally. They have
Oh, really?
Allies.
Well, let me play something for you right now if you don't think they have an ally. Let's play the clip of President of the United States, President Obama, when he's running about Planned Parenthood. You don't think he has an ally? Jeannie, I want you to listen to this and then tell me he doesn't.
There will always be people, many of goodwill, who do not share my view on the issue of choice. On this fundamental issue, I will not yield, and Planned Parenthood will not yield.
All right, so, Jeannie, you don't think they have an ally in the White House?
You had allies in the White House before Obama came. They just were under sheep's wool. The thing is, the Planned Parenthood is doing nothing different than they were doing before.
So you like abortion. You think abortion should be...
Against abortion.
Oh, you're against abortion.
Senior.
Well, let me ask you a question. Hold it. You're against abortion. How do you feel about your taxpayer dollars paying for abortion?
Trying to kill the Obama thing because our seniors are being killed with...
Hey, look, no, that's not... You know why that's not true? Are you a senior citizen, Jeannie?
The seniors being...
Jeannie, are you a senior citizen?
Hello?
Yes, Jeannie, if you're a senior citizen, you had either Medicare or Medicaid before Obamacare. Did you not?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Did you get good service?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so why would you want to change that? Because you're going to get it changed. Let me tell you who's going to suffer the most under Obamacare, Jeannie. I'm being real brutal and honest with you. You, senior citizens, you will be the last in line to get government-approved services when you need them. They're going to do a cost-benefit analysis, and the senior citizen's going to be on the low end of that stick. So I really want you to – there's some good information on our website, and I appreciate you calling in and listening, but – please read the information that's posted because you, Jeannie, as a senior, will be the most at risk if Obamacare gets into full force. And that's the fact. Putting the abortion issue completely aside, you are the one that's in the most jeopardy here. I keep saying we're going to go to Ed White. Ed, let me do that right now. Give us a quick update, and then we'll talk to you after the break here. I've only got like a minute, less than 30 seconds, actually. Ed, you've got a case you're arguing Friday. Give us a little bit about that, and we'll talk about it after the break.
Sure. We represent Cordy and Lute Johann. It's one of the largest construction companies in central south Illinois. They have sued the Department of Justice over this mandate because they do not want to have to pay for abortion-inducing drugs, sterilization, and contraception. We have a hearing on our preliminary injunction motion this Friday, and we've asked the court for a ruling either that day or soon thereafter because our client's policy goes into effect on January 1st, 2013.
Right.
So in 3 weeks, if they do not comply with the mandate, they're facing thousands and thousands of dollars in fines every day, close to $1 million a year.
All right, folks, we're going to talk more with Ed and Carly when we come back. But, hey, listen, folks, you hear about the work of the ACLJ? Go online right now. Make a gift sometime today. It's doubled. We're in a matching challenge, ACLJ.org, or call us at 877-989-2255. Add your name to this committee. We're fighting back. We're winning, but we need your help to stay engaged in this. Go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We're in a matching challenge. Any amount you give, we get a match for, or you can call us at 877-989-2255. Sign on to this committee. Be part of the team rolling back Obamacare. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Back with more in just a moment.
The release of Pastor Youssef Nardakhani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront of a significant legal challenge. The Department of Health and Human Services is mandating that employers provide coverage for abortion-producing drugs, sterilization, and their insurance policies for employees, even if the mandate violates their religious beliefs. The ACLJ has filed numerous lawsuits challenging this flawed mandate, and the ACLJ is filing many amicus briefs backing other challenges. The fact is, the HHS mandate not only violates the free exercise of religion guaranteed by the First First Amendment, it also violates the conscience rights of millions of Americans. This unprecedented attack is not only morally offensive, but unconstitutional as well. Join the legal fight. Sign on to our committee opposing the mandate, a committee that will be included in our future amicus briefs challenging the mandate. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org.
The United States Department of Health and Human Services said last week it will impose a 3.5% fee on insurance plans sold via federally funded exchanges. What a shock. So now we're going to see, in addition to whatever your premiums are about to go through the roof, just you could thank your federal government for adding 3.5% to that. Which, when you start thinking about that, it's 3.5% of this, it's going to be 7% of that, and all of a sudden, insurance premiums will double. Senior citizens that are listening to me, folks, if you thought you had difficulty with Medicare, which most of you did not because Medicare worked pretty well, when you see this new plan, you're going to regret the day this law was passed. You don't want to believe me? Fine. Sit and wait and see what happens. But you're going to regret the day this law was passed. Again, if you want to sign on to our committee as we're challenging this law, you can go to aclj.org at aclj.org and sign up for the committee there, or go to 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or aclj.org. And I am happy to say that we're approaching 34,000 signatures online alone on this, which is great. Let's go right back to the phones.
Yeah, we're going to start with Diane calling from California on line 6. Diane, you're on the air.
Hi, Diane.
Hi.
You're on the air.
Hi, Jay. I'm just calling because I was listening yesterday, and I had an abortion when I was 21. I'm 50 years old now, and it's affected my life tremendously. And I just really feel that if I had an opportunity to have an ultrasound and see the little life inside of me, that I would not have taken that life right away and killed my baby. I still deal with it today.
Well, you know, first of all, Diane, I appreciate you calling in. Let me tell you something about the ultrasounds. My brother-in-law, who's a radiologist in a major hospital in Atlanta, said years ago, when you start seeing 3D imagery, which is now what they see, in addition to the ultrasound, it's going to change the entire abortion debate. But Carly, this is precisely why groups like Planned Parenthood and NARAL don't want to have the woman informed of what's going on inside her own body.
That's exactly right, and that's what these crisis pregnancy centers are there for. It is to speak to these women and to tell them and to show them the life inside of them, and it's exactly what we're hearing about right now, that if I had that option, and that's what crisis pregnancy centers provide, they provide that option, and the government in the city of New York and NARAL and Planned Parenthood are simply trying to silence that and to take away that option from women.
You know, folks, I want you to understand what Carly just said. They want a one-sided debate. Planned Parenthood doesn't want the competition from crisis pregnancy centers because it will affect how much their profit is. Because less abortions means less profit to Planned Parenthood. Ed, you've got this hearing coming up on Friday, and this is just one of many. Let's talk about the number. Frank was talking about this yesterday. We're getting a lot of calls from businesses around the country that don't want to have to enforce this abortion pill mandate. This has become a huge religious liberty issue.
Most definitely. What's happened here is there are a couple of time periods here. We noticed that a few people were calling us before the original Obamacare decision came out. Once the Supreme Court upheld Obamacare, we then started getting more calls. And then once the election turned out the way it did, where President Obama is still president, people now realize that the HHS mandate is not going away. And all of a sudden, we've been flooded with phone calls, mainly from for-profit businesses, who realize that now they are going to be required to pay for something that is going to directly violate their religious rights.
I mean, folks, this is one of the most significant religious liberty challenges we face in our time. And it's not just against religious institutions. It's against private employers and others. Hey, folks, we've got a whole other half hour coming up in the broadcast. If you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, you do on SiriusXM, just go to aclj.org. You can get it there and listen to the whole hour. Those of you that are on the line, if we don't get to you, stay in line. We'll get to as many calls as we can. Let's go right back to the calls. Who do we have next, Dan?
Next up is Carrie calling from Arizona on line 3. Carrie, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, Carrie.
Hi. I have a comment.
Sure.
Not a question, but regarding the sound clip that you played at the beginning where President Obama would not want his daughters, if they made a mistake, to be punished with a baby, Carrying a baby for 9 months and giving it up for adoption would be one thing, and that would be what he would consider a punishment if they chose to not keep the baby, but he would rather commit them to a lifetime of nightmares when they do realize that they actually killed someone, an unborn child.
We've had so many of those calls come in over the years, Carrie, and even today. Let me play that soundbite for everybody. This, again, is the President of the United States now. He was not then. I think it was he still – was he? This the first time he was running? Was this in 08? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Listen to what he said.
I've got two daughters, 9 years old and 6 years old. I'm going to teach them, first of all, about values and morals. But if they make a mistake, I don't want them punished with a baby.
You know, folks, you know, yeah, I know elections have consequences, and I say that all the time, and it's true. Punished with a baby. I mean, I want you to think about this. This is the commander-in-chief, same commander-in-chief who also said, I don't know if we have this clip, that he couldn't tell when life begins and when the unborn child is entitled to rights under the Constitution. Take a listen to this.
At what point does a baby get human rights, in your view?
Well, you know, I think that whether you're looking at it from a theological perspective or a scientific perspective, answering that question with specificity, you know, is above my pay grade.
You know, folks, you're the President of the United States. It's not above your pay grade. And you couple that with punished with a baby, and you understand why we are fighting in court. But, folks, we need your help to keep doing this. We've got a committee going right now for this greatest challenge on religious liberty that we've ever seen. We're over, probably with phone calls, probably close to 40,000 signatures. We want to get to 100,000 people on this committee. This is where you come in. I want you to go to ACLJ.org, sign on to that committee, so when we're filing these briefs, we can say we have a committee representing 100,000 people from all 50 states. ACLJ.org, very easy to do it at ACLJ.org, or call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. 2255 or ACLJ.org. When you're on the call, you can also find out how you can get the movie. That it's called Life Happens, and this is something you're going to want to see. So ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Let's try to grab another call before the break. Those of you that are on the phone, stay there. Let's grab one more call quickly, Than.
Let's go to Jim calling from Ohio on line 2. Jim, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim.
Yeah, personally, I'm glad that you're speaking out for the children in the womb who can't speak for themselves. But Obamacare goes way past that. It's creating two classes, those who are very poor and government dependent, and those who are so rich they can think for us.
Well, I don't know what you really mean by that, because the fact of the matter is what the president really wants is a single-payer program, that there would be no private insurance, that you would have government insurance only. And when, as these state exchanges fail and the federal government's exchange fails, which they will, it's going to create a more of a mess here. But look, I'm not giving up the fight on this. I mean, we're going to continue to mount aggressive challenges to Obamacare. And, folks, we've won at the 8th Circuit Court of Appeals with this injunction pending appeal. It's a big deal. We've got other cases going on right now directly challenging Planned Parenthood. So this fight is going on. Folks, our lines are jammed, so hang on the line here. We'll get to as many calls as we can when we come back from the break. But, again, as we close this segment of the broadcast out, go to ACLJ.org right now, folks. A couple things I need you to do. We're in a matching challenge. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we get a matching gift for it. It's tax deductible. If you donate $10, we get $20. A couple people donated $1,000 yesterday. We get $2,000. I mean, it makes a big difference. So ACLJ.org to sign the petition and to support the work of the ACLJ, or call us at 877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or ACLJ.org. Do it now, folks. Again, ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Back with more in a moment.
The fact is, the HHS mandate not only violates the free exercise of religion guaranteed by the First Amendment, it also violates the conscience rights of millions of Americans. This unprecedented attack is not only morally offensive, but unconstitutional as well. Join the legal fight. Sign on to our committee opposing the mandate, a committee that will be included in our future amicus briefs challenging the mandate. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org.
Broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. We're talking about life this week, and we are fighting for life, and I'm glad you're here. By the way, and coming up on the broadcast, you're going to hear excerpts from our new movie, and this is one we just released called Life Happens, and it's a very different perspective on the life issue, and I think you'll really enjoy it. It's the stories of people that were involved in not just the protests, but women that decided not to have abortions and then talks about their children. I mean, it's a phenomenal piece. You're going to want to see it. Let's grab some phone calls here, Than, because a lot of people have been holding for a long time.
Yeah, let's start with John calling from Montana on line 4. John, you're on the air.
Hi, John.
Hey, Jay. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm like you. I mean, mandating an insurance, I could probably put it to a little bit better perspective, okay? What I'm doing is a single truck currently. If it costs me $400 to have this insurance that I have to buy from the government, I have to pass that on to the consumer.
Right.
The consumer. So when you go buy your gallon of milk for your house, it may only raise it 2 or 3 cents, but every 2 or 3 cents it raises, that's something else you have to give up to pay for something else.
I am really glad you called, John, because when I read in my news briefing this morning that the HHS is saying that it will impose a 3.5% fee on insurance plans sold via the federally run exchanges, I said to Than, who's paying for this? And ultimately, the consumer. I mean, that's part of the whole mindset of what's going on here. So, John, we appreciate your call. Than, who do we have next?
Let's go to Ronald calling from Colorado on line 1. Ronald, you're on the air.
Hi, Ronald.
Doing, Jay?
Good. You're on the air, sir.
Not only are you fighting the federal government, but there's a struggle with the Republican Party also, isn't there?
Well, look, I mean, you asked me, is there a struggle within the Republican Party? I take the life issue outside of that, Ronald. We're defending life. There are Democrats that agree with us. There are Republicans that agree with us. There's Democrats that don't agree with us. There's Republicans that don't agree with us. But if we go back to a fundamental issue, and I'll bring this back to Carly Gamble, who's handling this crisis pregnancy center cases, what we've got to really watch, Carly, in all of this stifling of one side of the message, which is the pro-life side of the message, which the Obama administration, frankly, folks, hasn't been very helpful on either, as you can imagine. We're beating them in court, but we're having to go to court. But it's this silencing one point of view that's the real problem here, the fundamental problem.
Right, that's exactly right. And as we've heard, just sitting here today, and there are numerous women out there, you know, hundreds of thousands probably, who say, look, I've had an abortion in the past, and I wish I hadn't, and maybe I wish someone else would have been there to give me an option to show me the life inside of me. And that's exactly what these crisis pregnancy centers are doing, and it's exactly what Planned Parenthood and NARAL are trying to silence.
And again, folks, we're beating them in court, but this is where you come in. That's where we're going to need your help. Let's grab another call here. Who do we have, Than?
Let's go to Leonard from Washington on line 5. Leonard, you're on the air.
Hi, Leonard.
Hey, thank you very much.
Sure.
I'd like to get this in before you guys had some more calls. You know, my comment about this whole Obamacare thing, you know, you seniors out there, I mean, I want to know which one of you are going to end up paying this whole, you know, charade. I mean, because this is what it's all about. What Obamacare is to you is basically what it is it's going to destroy health care.
Well, that's you just hit the fundamental issue and the fundamental problem. That is, Medicare was working fine for senior citizens, and they had Medicare supplements that helped them. This is a fundamental reshift of all of that so that there'll be evaluations made as to whether that procedure, which Medicare may have paid for in the past, but whether it will even be given now. And that's the fundamental problem with all this. Folks, we got a lot more ahead. You're going to want to listen to the broadcast. But again, if you have not yet signed on to this committee to support and defend religious liberty at courts around the country on this abortion pill mandate, go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Or you can call us right now at 1-877-989-2255. Let me also encourage you, support the work of the ACLJ. Your tax-deductible gifts, especially here at the end of the year, really help us out. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255 to have your voice heard in this fight for life.
The American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront of a significant legal challenge. The Department of Health and Human Services is mandating that employers provide coverage for abortion-producing drugs, sterilization, and their insurance policies for employees, even if the mandate violates their religious beliefs. The ACLJ has filed numerous lawsuits challenging this flawed mandate, and the ACLJ is filing many amicus briefs backing other challenges. The fact is, the HHS mandate not only violates the free exercise of religion guaranteed by the First Amendment, it also violates the conscience rights of millions of Americans. This unprecedented attack is not only morally offensive, but unconstitutional as well. Join the legal fight. Sign on to our committee opposing the mandate, a committee that will be included in our future amicus briefs challenging the mandate. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org. The release of Pastor Youssef Nardakhani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let me tell you what we've got right now. We have a major victory. I mean huge. U.S. Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit issues an injunction, folks, against the Obama administration and their HHS mandatory pro-abortion, abortion mandate pills. They want that as part of our regular health care. Remember, that's what the president said. It's part of essential health care. Well, we've challenged that and now got the first appellate decision on this issue. At the same time, and Than will give you the details on this, folks, and then I want to play something from the president. But, Than, we've also got briefs going in on this, and you said we've got over 40 members of the United States Congress.
Obviously, the case that Frank and Jeff are talking about is huge, but we represent 79 members of Congress, actually, in 12 cases across the nation on behalf of 43 Catholic institutions who are opposed to this. Jay, these aren't all conservative institutions, and one of the things that I like the most about this brief that we're filing, eight female members of Congress are on this case. The other side's going to tell you this is a gender issue. This is not a gender issue. This is a religious freedom issue. And those briefs that we're filing demonstrate that because of those female members of Congress.
Yeah, I sure like to hear some of the women that are listening to our broadcast today and get your comments on this. Our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let me play something for you. Then I'm going to give you a call to action here, folks, because this is what the problem is. I'm going to play two sound bites for you back to back. A statement made by President Obama regarding Planned Parenthood, who we are suing, and then his the statement about being punished with a baby. Listen to both of these, then we're going to take some action.
There
There will always be people, many of goodwill, who do not share my view on the issue of choice. On this fundamental issue, I will not yield, and Planned Parenthood will not yield. I've got two daughters, 9 years old and 6 years old. I'm going to teach them, first of all, about values and morals. But if they make a mistake, I don't want them punished with a baby.
So are we surprised? Are we surprised that this administration, who's put forward Obamacare, which was loaded with abortion issues, are we surprised that they had their Health and Human Services Secretary mandate that these abortifacients be authorized, not only authorized, paid for by people that object? It violates their conscience, and this administration says, too bad. We don't want them punished with a baby. We have formed a committee. That committee is going to file briefs in every one of these cases what we think are appropriate. We've already got a great victory out of the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals, but folks, we want, in addition to the 70-plus members of the United States House and Senate that we represent, we want to represent you. You could be up there fighting with us against this mandate. Again, fighting against these Obamacare issues continually. And everybody said the White House won the election, President Obama won the election, it's all over. Folks, it's not. We've got these cases coming up. There was that case from Liberty University last week going back to the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. We just won at the Eighth Circuit. We can win this. But the idea that the administration is targeting basically punished with the baby might as well be their theme. I want you, the American people, to say, no, we're not going to do that. And that's why I want you to join this committee right now, and then we're going to take your calls. Everybody that's listening to me, go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Or you call us right now at 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. It is critical that we hear from you. Sign on to this committee as we file these briefs. Folks, we're winning at the Eighth Circuit. We need to push forward again. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Fan, let's go to the phones.
Yeah, we're going to go ahead and start with Sharon. She's calling from Virginia on line 2. Sharon, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Sharon.
Hi. I'm against abortion. And I was really concerned about it, but my mother, she had abortion. And it was before me, and then with me, she had an abortion, but I survived it. But she was 7 months. But the thing of it is that she was upset because she was raped, and she was trying to get her family to find out about it. But the thing of it is that babies are the Bible, well, according to the Bible, the Bible is a gift from God. If you follow God's will and you get pregnant, it's still a reason because that's life.
Well, you know, you're the abortion survivor coming from you. No one else could say it like you can say it. And the fact is that there are a lot of people that share your sentiment. And let me go to Frank and then to Jeff on this. You know, we've had a lot of calls over the years from abortion survivors. And I think we've got a cultural situation here where the cultural divide, actually on the life issue, we're carrying the day. But this administration, do you think it's fair, Frank, to say that they are the most hostile towards life of any administration we've had in recent history?
There's no question about it, Jay. I mean, from day one, and really before day one, when the president campaigned the first time he ran for office, he made it clear that he was going to do everything in his power to enact Planned Parenthood's anti-life agenda. And he's doing everything in his power to do that. The HHS mandate pushes it even further, though. It's one thing to say that he's going to do everything that the government can do, but this HHS mandate is making employers do the Planned Parenthood agenda. That's taking it a step beyond what I think we even expected this administration to do, and that's why we're fighting it so aggressively.
But, you know, the president, when he was asked by Rick Warren in that debate back in 2008 about when does a baby get human rights, you listen to his answer, and we should not be shocked. Listen to this.
At what point does a baby get human rights, in your view?
Well, you know, I think that whether you're looking at it from a theological perspective or a scientific perspective, answering that question with specificity, is above my pay grade.
You know, I'm sorry, you're the president of the United States, Jeff. He doesn't get that kind of pass.
No, he doesn't. That's a
above his pay grade is a ridiculous line. This is a fundamental liberty interest for millions of unborn children, to say that whether or not they have any rights to be born and to be citizens of this country is above someone's pay grade is absolutely ridiculous. And it speaks volumes about this president and his administration's views regarding the sanctity of human life. And he says it's above his pay grade, but he does have an answer. And it's an answer he didn't communicate to Rick Warren, and that is he doesn't believe an unborn child has any rights whatsoever. That's exactly why he continues to push abortion on demand. It's exactly why that he takes it, as Frank said, a step further than that, not just abortion on demand, but free abortion paid for by employers, whether or not they have a conscientious objection to
that. That's the irony of all of this. Than, what is going on in Washington all of this right now?
Members of Congress are engaged on this. They have been from the beginning, Jay, and here's where I'm focusing. There are actually a bipartisan cross-section of members who are engaged on this. We saw that when it was being debated as part of the legislation, but I think what the president is doing here, Jay, he is going to pit some members of his own party who represent some of these districts with heavy Catholic populations that are having their rights violated. He is pushing them to the table on this. Of course, he got abortion in the bill, but what he's done here, he has pushed this beyond the abortion issue and into the religious freedom issue. He's going out on a limb, Jay, that I'm not sure his party can universally back him on. We'll see if they come to the table on it.
All right, let's take some more calls. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Who's next?
Let's go to Walter calling from Ohio on line 3. Walter, you're on the air.
Hi, Walter.
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
Pro-lifer here, but I do have a question.
Sure.
What's the difference between an employer paying for the abortion and then paying for vasectomies and getting tubes tied, and nobody's complaining about that?
Well, this is a question of the right of conscience of the employer. So the employer is making the – we're not going in and mandating what the employer must do or must not do. The government is. The government's saying you must provide this even though it violates your conscience. So it's kind of the flip side of all of that. It is this mandate coming down from the government. And, Frank, I think this is the greatest attack on religious liberty that we've seen in our lifetime. When an employer is put in a position of having to violate their conscience because the government is telling them, you must provide this abortifacient, you must do this.
Yeah, and what people don't seem to understand, and listening to the montage at the beginning of the show, no employer who objects to this is trying to prevent anybody's access to anything. No employer is deciding what an employee does with his or her salary when they get home. They're just saying that if you ask me to pay for it, then I have to have a say in whether or not that violates my conscience. It's none of the employer's business what an employee does with their so-called reproductive rights until the employee says, but I want you, boss, to pay for my sexual lifestyle. Then it does become the employer's business, and it violates the employer's conscience from the beginning of this country. The right of religious liberty and the right of religious conscience has been the first thing that's protected in our Constitution. That certainly trumps anybody's so-called right to follow their own lifestyle choices and have their boss pay for them.
Which is exactly what's going on here, folks. All right, we're going to take more of your calls. We're going to let you know what the impact of Obamacare is going to be over the next several months. But, folks, we've got the Department of Justice. I want you to understand this. The Obama administration is the defendant in our lawsuit, their HHS office. They're defended by the United States Department of Justice. And we took this HHS mandate case to the 8th Circuit Court of Appeals basically on an emergency application for an injunction, and we won. So you want to make that stick around the country. We've got other cases, other briefs that need to be filed. Become part of the team, 877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 to sign on that committee or ACLJ.org. But call now, 877-989-2255.
The release of Pastor Youssef Nardacani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront of a significant legal challenge. The Department of Health and Human Services is mandating that employers provide coverage for abortion-producing drugs, sterilization, and their insurance policies for employees, even if the mandate violates their religious beliefs. The ACLJ has filed numerous lawsuits challenging this flawed mandate, and the ACLJ is filing many amicus briefs backing other challenges. The fact is, the HHS mandate not only violates the free exercise of religion guaranteed by the First Amendment, it also violates the conscience rights of millions of Americans. This unprecedented attack is not only morally offensive, but unconstitutional as well. Join the legal fight. Sign on to our committee opposing the mandate, a committee that will be included in our future amicus briefs challenging the mandate. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org.
And when you see the face of our Maker, you don't have to be ashamed. He knows.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the broadcast. We're going to play for you now a compilation of segments from our new DVD, Life Happens. It's a story of abortion survivors. After we play this segment, I'm going to come back and I'm going to give you some information about how you can go online and how you can stream the entire DVD. We're going to give you a little taste of it now, and then afterwards we'll tell you how you can go online and get the rest of it. So let's go ahead and play that now.
Medical experts from Harvard and Yale and Oxford University have said the unborn child, the so-called fetus, feels pain. They could tell this because they're applying anesthesia during the procedures now so that the child doesn't react, because they see the ultrasounds and they see the child reacting to the pain stimuli.
So somewhere between that point and conception, something happened. Can you tell me where that is? Answer is, no, I can't. Nobody can ascertain that. Fine. Then there's always the possibility that you're committing murder. You know, because you have no evidence to the contrary.
As far as stages go in understanding embryonic development, we've known how embryos develop for 100 years. This is a reprint from an insert in Life magazine from 1965. So here again, we've known the truth. Now, this is over 40 years old. And so we've known what embryonic development looked like. We've known when the heart starts beating, when the limb buds form, as you see here at 5 weeks. We've known this for over 40 years, and we haven't improved on this at all in terms of, you know, this is something we're still using, and it's highly valuable because it is the truth. This is the truth. Like it or not, that's the truth.
You started life as a single cell. That cell was a combination of an egg like this from your mother and a sperm cell from your father.
I believe that life begins with the fertilization of the egg and sperm. I think that's the beginning of life, and that's what most scientists believe. Now, there's a whole different issue about consciousness and the soul and all of that kind of thing, but I believe that human life really begins at the very, very beginning.
That's 7 days away from an embryo that implants in the uterine wall. So we're not even talking about implantation. It's not even in the uterus yet. It's still in the fallopian tube, but that's when the two pronuclei from the male and female gametes unite and form a zygote. That is your unique genetic being, if you will. And from that moment on, you just keep dividing as a cell and divide, and the DNA begins a lifetime of expression.
At 5 weeks from the woman's last period and 3 weeks after conception, as early as that, we can see a heartbeat. And brain waves 1 week after that.
And you can actually make out in this picture the little finger nails.
And so when women are having an abortion at 8 weeks, it doesn't look like a glob of tissue to me.
No, it's not a glob of tissue at all.
I can't imagine how my mom felt when she found out she was pregnant. She certainly wasn't happy about it, and when she went back to try to find my father, she found out he had been killed in a car accident. I guess I understand why she thought about having an abortion.
Fear is probably the biggest reason why these girls have an abortion. A lot of them know that it's wrong, a lot of them don't want to do it, but they feel like it's their only way of surviving their life. I just can't have this baby. The guy's not going to stand by me. My parents will not stand by me. My mom's telling me to have it. My friend has had one in the past and she says, just do it, you know, just suck it up for this half an hour and go through this horrible thing and your life will be back to normal. They believe that lie, and it is a lie.
I was in college. I went to Tufts University up in Medford, Massachusetts, and most people don't know that abortion was legal in some states in 1972 before Roe v. Wade. And New York was one of the states that had legalized abortion. And I actually flew from Boston to New York and had the abortion. I had choice because I knew my mom would have taken the baby. I knew that, but I was grown. And so I didn't want the baggage, in all honesty, of having a child while I was in college, because I had a vision for my life and it didn't include children. It was a very horrific experience for me. It was not this, it's nothing like, you know, more than pulling a tooth. That is a total lie. When I got up from the table, they gave me cookies and juice to drink, and they let you lay there for like 10 minutes, 15 minutes before they shepherded you out and herded in the next group. And when I stood up, their sugar and cookies didn't work, and I fainted. And I think I fainted because of the horror of what I had done. I knew it was a baby. I knew it was another life. And so, I just was heartless. And I think that's the case for many of us. It's just selfishness. It's just heartlessness. It's just, you know, I can't be bothered right now. And I think that we just don't want to face the lie because we know. And I think if you ask any woman that's ever killed her baby, she'll tell you, I knew.
Had three abortions, and I was told that it was just a blob of tissue. I wasn't given any choices as far as ultrasounds or told me to, why don't you go home, think about it, and then come back. Nothing like that. There was nothing positive in trying to help save my baby. All they wanted to do was just destroy my baby.
And that's when the drama really began. I cried. I immediately knew that I had made the wrong decision. And I cried and cried and cried. I miss my baby all the time. I was always reminded because pretty much as women, everywhere we go, they ask you how many pregnancies when you're filling out medical forms, how many children were born, how many were aborted, how many was miscarried. So you're always answering that question. So you're always aware of that child that's not here.
When I became engaged in sexual activity, I didn't think about it. I didn't think about any consequence whatsoever. And ended up having abortions over and over again. And after the fourth time, I just had a gut instinct way down deep inside that there just has to be something wrong with killing your offspring. You know, I hadn't heard any messages out in society at that point, but deep inside it was just getting weary and tiring.
Folks, those are segments from our new DVD, Life Happens. If you want to take a look at that entire production, you can actually call right now. We'll give you information to stream that online. If you call 877-989-2255, that was just a little taste of what this production is. These are abortion survivor stories. If you want to see the whole thing, it's a very powerful production, folks. Again, call 877-989-2255 to get those instructions. Again, 877-989-2255, and we'll show you how you can watch that online.
I'll be by your side. On the other side.
The fact is, the HHS mandate not only violates the free exercise of religion guaranteed by the First Amendment, it also violates the conscience rights of millions of Americans. This unprecedented attack is not only morally offensive, but unconstitutional as well. Join the legal fight. Sign on to our committee opposing the mandate, a committee that will be included in our future amicus briefs challenging the mandate. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org.